The Vectors Radio podcasts are sponsored by Break the Cycle CIC, rebuilding self-esteem in people who have experienced domestic abuse. For more, email hello@breakthecycle.org.uk.
We've got Paul Braden in, Councillor Paul Braden. We said, do you prefer Councillor Paul or just Paul?
I just prefer being called. Well, my residence now is Paul. So, I'm a councillor. I'm proud to be a councillor.
And you were re-elected again in May.
Yep.
And, you had a different role. That's gone. How was that for you?
The main thing at the election was to get myself re-elected because, people at Lake vote for me. And I was delighted to increase my majority to nearly 60% of the vote. So for the last 4 years, I've served my residents the way I used to serve customers in the bank, really, by being on their side, sorting out local issues. Yes, I was cabinet member for education and children's services. I'm now the shadow cabinet member for the same portfolio. But to me, it was people at Lake voted me back in with increased majority because of what I'd done for them locally. And that's what matters to me.
That's it. That's exactly it. And I remember on the night speaking to going up and seeing Dave Stewart on the night, and he came in a couple of months back. We did a whole hour, and fascinating because we had a conversation just after he'd been deselected, if that's the correct term. And he said, "Do you want to talk about this?" To me, do you want to? And I said, "Do you really want to talk about this now?" And I didn't think he wanted, but he did, and he stayed. I'll give him his credit. He stayed till the end of the evening, even though he'd been, voted out and so on. And I said to him, "Do you know what, Dave? This might be a blessing in disguise because you might just now have to have a look at your life and reevaluate, and maybe this sort of life, the lifestyle needs a change, and maybe you'll look back and think, do you know what's the best thing that's happened?" Because, I saw him about 5-6 weeks ago and he seemed very, very relaxed. He's doing lots of other things as we've just been chatting about as well, which is good. And I think sometimes you just have to take a step back at life and you think, you were very busy doing what you were doing and you're now. I mean, the lovely thing is, we haven't mentioned that, you've become a grandfather in the last little while as well. Can we tell people that?
Yeah, of course you can. No.
And it's like, well, now you've got the time to do that as well. It's like taking a break and having a good look around at life. And you do so many other things as well. I mean, you're not just a counsellor. I mean, you invited me down to the Sandown Rotary Club,
mm-hmm.
and fabulously put £1,000 cheque in my hand because you wanted us to help young people and be given more opportunities to young people, and the Rotary Club gave us £1,000 so that we can build a desk outside and sit and record stuff safely rather than go into a studio that's way, way too small. So there you are doing those kind of things. And what else do you do? You must do other things as well. Within the community, I mean, the Rotary thing is huge because there's a shop that you go and work at as well.
Yeah, I mean, since I have worked in the shop one day a week most recently, which is great fun, raising money for Rotary for our charities. So it's a huge pleasure to give you guys £1,000. You know the great work the 4Ps do, and to be able for you to build a new studio here or recording desk for the young people to use. That was a fantastic honour for me as my president's allowance to do so. I still chair the Isle of Wight MS Society, working hard at increasing the awareness of that. We just had a re-presentation of our Queen's Award for Voluntary Service. We got a Lord Lieutenant back out at a function for 49 people 2 weeks ago, where she gratefully represents us with our award. And we're going to hopefully arrange another awareness day for next year that I know you guys come to an outside broadcast that in 2019. We're going to have another awareness day next year. So that takes a bit of planning. I have a lovely granddaughter who's now 1 year old. And me and the wife, we go and babysit one day a week on the mainland, which is great fun. There's a golf shop just down the road from where they live. So when we go for an afternoon walk, she's well known in the golf shop now because I tend to pop in and buy something as I'm passing, as you do. But it's a long day, but it's real worth it to babysit, my granddaughter. And, I've got involved at the golf club a lot more now. I'm now on the seniors golf committee at the golf club. And I get involved in more social matches. I was in Bognor yesterday. Because life goes on, but the main thing is, I still do all my stuff for Lake. I do chair Lake Parish Council as well now, something I couldn't do while I was cabinet member, wouldn't know at the time. But I was grateful to my fellow councillors at Lake for electing me as their chair, which takes a little bit of my time. But it's the residents of Lake that have got my time and attention, because they're the ones that you know, elected me. They didn't elect me to be a cabinet member. They elected me to represent them in Lake and sort out overgrown trees and trees causing damage to fences and bins and that sort of stuff, and grass cutting. And that's what I do. Still do, and I love doing it.
It's brilliant, because a lot of people don't realise just how much other people do. I mean, isn't it, you know, not just a councillor turning up to council meetings. There's all these other things, like you mentioned, multiple sclerosis as well, organising events, shops and things like that, and obviously the Rotary as well. I mean, that's just a whole load of work, and it's almost like you look at it and you think, crikey, how would you have fitted all that lot in if you had to, you know, do the other role that at the moment, you know, you're having to sit back and watch somebody else do. But you know, you're having the best of it, really, because I just can't. I just imagine you, you know, being a massive smile on your face, being around your grandchild, and yeah. And yeah, how lovely would that be? How lovely is that? And that's obviously only happened in the last 12 months, isn't it?
So yeah, she's a year old last weekend, so yeah, she just turned one. But it's different times, and you adapt to it, you know, because say my residents elected me to be Lake County Councillor. Yes, I enjoy the cabinet role, and hopefully one day I'll have it back again. But I think what I've learned is that you get invited to be on all sorts of committees and boards and organisations when you're a cabinet member. When the time comes, I may be a little bit more selective on my diary management, you know, and perhaps not rejoin everything that I was part of. You know, the one thing I'll never drop is the 4Ps programme, and you guys, it's such a brilliant thing. But, you know, come the day, I'd probably do less, be more selective and put my efforts in the right direction.
Well, you got me, because you're like a senior now, aren't you? So you've got to start, you know, yeah. Start taking it, you know, pick and choose what you do. Yeah. Which is good. I think that's that to me, that's common sense. It's just giving you the ability to have a bit of a breather, a bit of a break, I guess. And yeah. You know, someone else is doing the role. I'm not going to ask you what you think of you know, things, because to be quite honest, I think it's too early. I think it's only been a few months, but you know, give it another 6 months, and maybe, you know, when somebody's had a whole year in the job, then we can sort of say, hey, look what you're doing. But let's just go back. I mean, you were in that role through a very, very difficult period of time, and you got us through it.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a number of things that came out of, you know, things being put in place that serve young people well, teachers and so on. You know, figures were good and strong and healthy. And, you know, you should be proud of what you achieved during that difficult time.
I don't regret any decisions I made during that time, because they're all based upon fact and for the right of the young people. I mean, you know, I still look at all the papers and decisions that are coming forward in the portfolio that I'm now the shadow for, and I will challenge in the media and publicly any decisions that I think are wrong, as I've done once before, and I will keep doing as decisions come forward that I think are wrong, because I think that's what my role is now, is to, you know, because I still care so much about the young people of the island, I'll keep watching what goes on. If anything comes up I don't agree with, I should call it out and publicly challenge it in the press.
Well, I mean, exactly. I mean, that's what you're going to do. And I mean, you know, vice versa, I guess. How are you feeling at the moment with, I know there's these reports that have only come to light today, about how well we all coped with COVID, and, you know, there's 180 page document that has come out, and it's pretty critical and it's pretty damning. I mean, I have my own views on it. I mean, and I look at it and I think, yeah, okay. I think we didn't need 180 pages to tell us that we were a little bit slow to react. I don't think we needed to, but now I don't. As long as we're going to learn from something, I don't see the point in beating somebody up and putting them through, you know, a difficult time. I think there's lessons to be learnt there's a few. We don't have to have 180 pages worth of let's abuse somebody, let's give somebody a tough time. Let's learn from the facts. The facts were we were a little bit slow to react, and there were a few other things that we messed up too. But let's learn from them. Let's not just, you know, create a war. Otherwise, all that does is just make it even worse. We all were part of that, and we all have come through it. And yes, in some cases, it's been a difficult lesson for people. But the good thing is that, yeah, okay, the majority of us have come through it. And now is not the time to sort of start beating people up and just saying, this was your fault. Because let's be honest as well, and let's be totally honest, we all played our part. Take politics out of it, we all played our part. There were people that went to beaches. There were people that went to parks. There were people that did all of those things that they were asked not to do. That's not political. That's just people doing, you know, stupid things and acting irresponsibly. We're all, if there's any blame, we're all to blame. We all take responsibility for what we did.
I think no one would have chosen to be in charge of the Isle of Wight Council or national or, you know, government at a time of a pandemic that we'll highlight our lifetime. It'll be the biggest thing in our lifetime. You know, no one saw the pandemic coming, and someone has to make a decision. It's never going to be a popular decision with everybody, because if reacted too early, that would have been criticised. Too late, that would have been criticised. I think the main thing is that evidence was taken from experts. There's always an expert on everything these days, which slightly annoys me. Every time there's something on breakfast telly, there's always an expert comes out of the woodwork. Someone has to make decisions, and people are in those roles to stand up and make decisions. Never going to be, you know, not to be popular, but to make a decision. Someone's got to make them, and they're always going to be criticised for the decision they made either way. But I'd much sooner have someone that's taking decisions, not being political. It's easy to, when you're in opposition or it's not your decision to make, it's really, really easy to go to the media and criticise either way, because it's not your decision to make. And you've got to make them, it's tough. You've got to stand up and be counted.
You have. I mean, you know, I'm looking at it from a very basic point of view. I'm not, super intelligent. I've got loads of common sense. I still think that we locked down too late. We locked down way too late. But there were so many other countries that did exactly the same, because they all had more or less the same sorts of problems. You look, there are very few across the globe that have actually got it right, got it spot on. You know, you look at New Zealand, one of only a handful of countries, I think, that actually got it absolutely bang on. And, you know, that doesn't say a massive amount for all the other leaders of countries on the planet. It doesn't say a massive amount at all. I mean, I'd be quite sort of, I'd be looking at myself, and I wouldn't be shouting and bigging myself up. I also look at it as slightly differently, and think, you go into all of those countries and you think, especially ours, I'm not a conservative, as you know, and I think it's not something we disagree about, because as far as I'm concerned, I don't care what people's shirt, what their colour of their shirt is. Can you do the job? Will you do the job? And, you know, that to me is the most important thing. But I do look at what we've achieved in the last, 18 months, and there's been some good and there's been some bad. And I think it's important to highlight the good, and I think it's important to learn from the bad. There's been plenty of it.
I think, getting a vaccine out in 7 months was a phenomenal effort that no one could actually have foreseen. And people to criticise have got a right to criticise if they say what they would have done differently. And that's the real thing that annoys me, is that people that come on social media or on television and criticise, they don't say, well, what we would have done instead is the following. Because they've got not a clue that what they would have done instead, because it wasn't their decision to make.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy, you know, criticising is easy. Let's hear what you would have done differently. Because there's two sides to every story.
I also look at things now, and maybe it's like this around the world, where, you know, I'm, as I said, I'm not a conservative, but I do look at Labour and think, well, you're not really that good when it comes down to putting pressure on the other party. If you were better, that means that your opponents need to be better, and it will probably bring out the best in your opponents. And unfortunately, they've gone for a very time, at least 10 years, where they haven't been good opposition. So you, in football terms, you can only be as good as the team that you're playing against. And maybe if Labour were better, it would bring out the best in the Conservatives. That's my opinion. I think that's probably been going on for the last 10 years.
No, I agree.
It's poor. And I say, you know, I'm disappointed. When I watch Boris Johnson, I've got to be honest, I'm not a fan of Boris Johnson. I thought he was a brilliant mayor. But as a leader of a country going through to through a pandemic and coming out the other side, I think he's been absolutely poor, absolutely poor. But that doesn't mean to say that every Conservative is poor, because I don't think everybody agrees that that with everything that he's done. But what the Conservatives are good at are sticking together, you know, and they do stick together, and I think that in some ways is a good thing, because otherwise, if you haven't got a party that sticks together, you haven't got a party, because it would just fall apart. And I think when you look at the opposition, that's exactly what's gone on. And that's possibly part of the problem. Even though they're not the main party, that means that, you know, if you're a Conservative, a National Conservative MP, it means that, well, you become complacent, because no matter what we do, they ain't going to beat us at the moment. Because look at them, they haven't got a leader, they've fallen apart, they don't get on, they stab each other in the back. And yeah, okay, there's an element of that in Conservatives when it comes down to main politics. But general opinion is most of them stick together.
I think the legacy of all this won't be known for many years. I watched a programme on telly a few months ago about World War II and Winston Churchill. Churchill's recognised in his country as a great man, a great leader. But during the war, he was criticised for all the decisions he made, being totally wrong, what we're doing here, what we're doing there. Now, you know, 70 years later, or nearly, yeah, Churchill was seen as a national hero. Not saying Boris would be seen as a hero, but I think the decisions will probably be seen better in the light further down the line. And it's wrong to compare. You know, you shouldn't compare COVID to a world war. But if you think about, you know, the big things in the national, you know, history, this is the biggest thing in our lifetime that's happened. Because we haven't, you know, thankfully, God forbid, we didn't see a world war, but. You know, it's only later on in life when people have seen, you know, what is their legacy. I might be wrong, but yeah, he's made decisions, and he'll live and die by those decisions, as will the Conservative Party, of course.
Yeah, they will, and at least I look at the Conservatives. Like I said, I've no stretch of my Conservative, but I look at it and think they're the only party that's kind of together. I know that they've got their splits and their divides, but it's not as huge as you haven't got other parties that are that tight. You haven't got other parties that have got a chance.
No.
You know, at the moment, that's the way it is. And I do look and I think, yeah, if you had a party that was putting the pressure on and making them bringing out the best, and they had to be the best they possibly could, we would have probably come out of this not quite so bad as we went in. But who knows? The million-dollar question is, what would anybody have done when they're in that situation?
That's what I've not heard a Keir Starmer say, well, I would have done this instead. Because he hasn't got to make the decision, so why show his cards?
Mm.
If he's got any cards to show, why show them? Because he hasn't had to do so.
I mean, all we can do now is learn from the things that we made mistakes on, and we've all made mistakes on, every single one of us. I remember saying to my wife on about March 29th when, you know, we were popping into shops and things, and I said to her one day, I said, I think we should start getting stuff delivered. We've been a bit lapse, only 5 days in, but we've been a bit lapse and taken some risks, I think, now. And that was a mistake. You know, yeah, okay, neither of us got COVID. Touch wood, it will stay that way. But most people kind of did the right thing and are doing the right thing. Mm. Have you got any advice for people now that, you know, and I know that you care very much about the schools and so on and so forth, but what advice can you give young people, teachers and so on?
I think people have just got to continue to be careful. You know, yes, we've got to get on and live our lives. COVID hasn't gone away. It won't go away for an awful long time. People have just got to be very careful. If you feel any concerns, I've always said, you know, any parents or children feel any concerns at school, you know, talk to the head. talk to the school staff, because, you know, school staff have worked incredibly hard to get as many things right as they can and take care, you know, of all the children under their and under their, you know, their care. Is an incredible task schools have done. Yes, some schools have had the odd outbreak, which could have been avoided looking back, but you can't fault the effort of everyone. And to every individual, you know, some people haven't had the jab. That's personal choice, and I'm not saying right or wrong to have the jab. I've had the jab because I thought, well, if there's a medical jab going to help me, you know, avoid possibly, you know, getting COVID, you know, I took that, and I'll take the third one when it gets offered to me. If you have any concerns, talk to someone and share your concerns, because a concern shared, you know, two heads are going to solve it to make, you know, the environment safe for your children to educate and, you know, start their journey towards in their future lives.
I think that's good advice. Communicate, talk to people, because, you know, I'll tell you what, Paul, it's very, at the moment, when we started doing the sessions again in September with young people, even though they were slightly younger, they were, that you could see that there were more concerns. Mm. And you could see that the last 2 or 18 months or so has really affected them. Not all of them, but there's a number of young people that have been really, really struggling, and they still struggle now. They still struggle with, I mean, that they came in all masked up, and I say we had a young lad that was coming in April last year, mask, gloves, everything, and you ask him the question, and you know, why are you wearing gloves and a mask? And you know, it's fine, by the way, it's not a problem. But he was saying, I'm keeping my brother safe because he's waiting for an operation and so on. And you just think, there's always a reason. But the young people that you know, some have been lucky, and you know, I would imagine that their parents are probably a bit more open, maybe, and a bit more honest, and talk to them rather than. I always remember a young lady I used to live next door to. She back in 1980, she was having a little birthday party, and her parents were talking about the invasion of Afghanistan, and they were starting talking about nuclear war, and everyone was going to die, so to speak. And this little girl was got herself in such a state that I think she was about 11 years of age. She knocked on our door at 2 a.m. in the morning, said that she couldn't wake her parents up. It affected her that much. And you just think, okay, that's just a little kid that's overheard talk of something that was happening thousands of miles away. This has happened on our doorstep, and we've all gone through it. So you can imagine what kids, if the parents don't talk to them about it and they're listening at the door upstairs, Lord only knows what their little minds are making of it. Mm. So I would say to those people, talk to whoever you need to talk to.
An adult, a parent, a teacher, whatever. I don't think, you know, I think the national media don't help. They dramatise everything. Yeah, we were going through a pandemic, and it's just whipped up by the media sometimes. The power of the media in this country is out of control, in my view, at a national level, and you know, they whip up all sorts of things, fuel crises to pandemics to, you know, because people listen to national media, whereas local media like this is more open and personal.
I never want to be like that. I tell you what, Paul, I'm disgusted. Every day I'm disgusted with the levels that they're not bothered about dropping to. You know, just I, every day I could tell you a story about, you know, national media and how they've not played their part in fixing what we've had, what we've all gone through in the last 18 months. Mm. I mean, I was talking to my wife yesterday, and she was saying, oh, it's going to be nice. It's going to be nice tomorrow. It's going to be, you know, dry for the rest of the week. And I said, yeah, OK. And we'll see what happens. They pretty much struggle sometimes to tell you what's going to happen tomorrow or even this evening. Mm-hmm. They get it wrong. And then they made this point of, in the last couple of weeks, they've made this point of saying, it's going to be the coldest winter ever. And I said, do you know why they told you that? It's going to be the coldest winter ever. It's because, supposedly, there's a fuel shortage. And you know that that's going to spark fear.
Absolutely.
And
anxiety.
And that's it.
Stress.
And I look at our national media and I think, You should know. What's the point? You don't know better. You know what you're trying to do. You're just trying to create a story.
Mm.
And you're trying to create fear and paranoia and trying to get the rise out of people. And all of a sudden you have. All of a sudden you've got queues at the petrol pumps and so on. You know, they did that. That's a huge amount of control.
They're playing with people's mental health, aren't they?
Every day. Every day they will let you know how they... Do you know what? We started off by having a conversation about flu jabs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I've had my flu jab. And the reason why I had my flu jab is because I got flu about 4 or 5 years ago. And I thought I was going to die. It wasn't man flu. It was real proper stuff. It was horrible. And every day I would sit in my bed, you know, because I could hardly move. I could sit in my bed and I was watching the telly. And every day I was desperate to want to hear... BBC, ITV, Sky, it don't matter. Just on your news programmes, say that there's like lots of people got flu at the moment. This is what you should do. I never heard once in 3 weeks. I'll tell you what I did hear. I did hear that the hospitals were overrun with people like me that had the flu. And all I wanted was someone to say, this is your advice. Your advice is, you know, stay in bed. Drink plenty of fluids, not alcohol, and eat as much as you possibly can. That was the advice that I got from my wife, okay, and other people, but I never got it from the television. The television was telling me, people like you have overrun the NHS. That's what I got. Every day we go through this game, and I would imagine there's a lot of people have cottoned onto it. The national media, they control everything they do is a control thing. And as I say, just to recap, petrol shortage, fuel shortage, gonna be the coldest winter, look out, fear. That's what it's all about. It's fear. And it's a sad state of affairs. And you look at it, you look at everybody that's in national media. That's the game. That's the game. Every time they will twist it around and they will say, how can we get it to be, on Facebook, on Twitter, how can we get it in to be a real bun fight? And everybody's talking about it. How sad is that?
There's very rarely positive, nice news stories. It's all doom and gloom. You know, if you watch breakfast telly in the morning, it's all doom and gloom. You know, and it sets you off in the day thinking, oh, God, you know, you're no petrol. Our fuel prices are going to go up. Christmas might be cancelled. I must have got some petrol this morning. No problem. Just drove into the garage, got some petrol and drove off again. There was no queue. There was no panic buying. Yet 2 weeks ago, that same petrol station took me 40 minutes to get past it. To queue back down the road to get petrol. Because that morning, someone said, the Isle of Wight's got a fuel shortage. Well, no. You know,
it's sadly all about fear. It's all about, you know, that it's a game. Hey, look, it's 20 to 1. We still got 5-10 minutes to go, but we haven't spoken about football yet.
No,
but let's just end up the politics. What's the plan now for Paul Braydon, Councillor Paul Braydon? You're you've been elected by your team of people over there in Braydon and
Lake
and Braydon. It's not Lake and Braydon. It's Lake. No,
it's
and Sandown.
Lake. Yeah. No, it's Lake.
Or Lake, just Lake
on its own, yeah.
Right, okay.
The plans are, and we've got some exciting plans for Lake. We're looking at increasing youth provision in Lake. We're looking at our toilet provision in Lake to try and smarten it up. We're looking at smartening up the town. We just had some decorative lights put up, which makes the town look really great at night time. I'd like to attract more businesses into Lake to improve Lake High Street. We're looking at some improving the public spaces that we've got. We're working with the youth football club. On Fairway Park, as I call it, to improve the facilities there, and for Lake, it's making sure we've got enough benches for people to sit on, dog bins for people to use, making sure that the pavements and roads are kept safe, the trees are looked after, and just the general appearance of Lake is strong, and obviously from an Isle of Wight perspective, I care a lot about children's service and education, having done it for 4 years, and I'll keep an eye on what decisions are being made. And if I see anything I don't agree with, I will challenge that decision as good opposition should do, because one day I may get that portfolio back, so I want to make sure it's in a good state to take back over again.
I mean, it's gone quiet on, you know, the political front here on the island. It's almost, I don't know, it's almost certain people have just stepped back.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, I don't know what to make of it. If I'm honest, I don't know what to make of it. It's almost like, step aside, other team have moved in. They're doing, you know, what they're doing. That's what they set out to do. And it's almost like, well, you step back. And so what's happened? What's your thoughts on that? Can you speak about that?
Well, yeah, I mean, I've got no idea what the new administration are trying to do, apart from just keep blaming us for things. And I mean, the floating bridge, a classic example.
I didn't actually mean them. I mean you as a team, because it's quite quiet on that side.
We are... Yeah, you know, there was a shock when we didn't you know, regain control of, you know, we had to unpick the election first of all. So you have to take a step back a little bit to unpick the election and learn from, you know, what didn't happen at the election. So we are still, of course, the biggest party at County Hall, but we don't have overall control. But yeah, we are still the biggest party, and it's a case of resetting our goals, resetting what we want to deliver for the island. You know, getting a shadow cabinet in place, getting them to know their portfolio. I'm lucky because obviously I'm shadow cabinet member for the same portfolio, so I've got all the contacts with officers. Sorry, staff. Slip of the tongue there. They're called staff now. I've still got the same contacts with the people.
You brought that up. How does that make you feel?
I spoke again. I mean, I think it's embarrassing for some of the senior council officers to now be called staff. I know it's only a name, but I spoke out against it on the night of the decision was put through. You know, they are officers for a reason, because they've earned their way up through the ranks to a senior role, and quite rightly they're called officers. To lump them as staff, I think it's just ridiculous.
I'm saddened,
to be honest.
I'm saddened because there were a lot of people that worked and went above and beyond during a pandemic.
Yeah.
And to be taken, you know, take that away from them and then have a different label. I'm saddened and embarrassed by that, because I look at those people and I think, how many of those people helped so many people during the pandemic? You were hearing so many lovely stories about people that were working, you know, within the council, that were going and delivering food and so on. And you think you've gone above and beyond in that difficult period. You're rewarded with, well, downgrading of a name. I was saddened by that.
I think the Alliance have definitely misjudged the feeling of their senior staff, because, you know, a title means a lot to people, more than, it's not, you know, it doesn't give any extra money or no less money being called staff, but it does mean a lot to people to be called an officer. It's like, you know, when you're to be called a manager as opposed to an assistant manager. You know, you work hard and you're proud to have that role as an officer. To suddenly be called staff, I think they've underestimated what a kick that is for some of the senior people at the council. Yes, it doesn't mean anything financially to them either way, but it's just that, I suppose, it's kudos of being, you know, you worked your way up to be an officer and then you're now called a staff member. It didn't sit right with me at the time. I wish the vote, and I know it was a split vote, and the casting vote was used by the chair. You know, so there was obviously a lot of uncertainty about it, and it was an 18-all split on the vote. And the chair, he's just casting vote to rename everyone. But
do you know what? There was a guy that came in, and I'm not going to name him, but he came in, or her. Let's you know, they came in three, 4 years ago, and one of the things that he said, and I thought it was really, really sad, that he when he went out at lunchtime, whether he would go to a shop, whether he would go to a cafe, a restaurant, have something to eat for his lunch, or pick up something for his lunch, he would always make sure that his council badge was not on view because of the abuse that he would get from a variety of people.
Wow.
And you just think, this person was one of many that put themselves out there during the pandemic, you know, went above and beyond. and you just think that's how he felt 4 years ago. Just imagine how he feels now. He's gone from being an officer to staff. And I don't want to harbour on, because I know that, you know, we're making the point, but I just think that was wrong. That was disappointing. That was the biggest disappointment of what's happened in the last 6 months. Don't get me wrong. I'm not a Tory. You're all right for a Tory. I'm never going to be a Conservative, and you know, I don't think I am. But my mum would turn. Well, she's not dead yet, but I mean, she would turn in her grave if ever I did. But as I said before, I don't care what colour you are. I just want you to do a good job and make it and do an honest job.
Mm.
And I just don't think that was very honest. I think that was totally unnecessary.
I think it's lack of respect. You know, a new administration takes over and the first thing they do is to re-labour everyone as staff without consulting anyone. Or, you know, I spoke to some of my old officers, you know, when we, you know, because I've still got all the connections out of the last 4 years. And they definitely were very unhappy about now being called staff. You know, so there was no consultation with people about, you know, how it would affect them mentally and personally. And there's, you know, I had a lot of people say, you know, being called staff is just a kick when we don't need it. You're right; they just, you know, driven the council, led the council wonderfully through a, you know, panic. The other way it dealt really well. You know, a lot of credit to the ex-leader of the council, Dave Stewart. He fronted this up and led the Isle of Wight brilliantly through the pandemic. And for those people that worked so hard, then to be have their name changed, it was just disrespectful in my book.
Do you know what? I mean, if, I know that there's people listening, and I know that we'll get back to them. And, you know, I will say to those people that have the ability to make some changes, it's a big man that makes a change that you've made a mistake, and I'll hold your hand up and say, we got that wrong, we're going to change that back. And I urge that if you're listening now, that's one thing that you should do, definitely. Those people were there during a pandemic and they went above and beyond. You made a mistake, make that change. Because people have more respect for you, and they will. They will have more respect for you. You made a mistake in public. Hold your hands up. How many times do we hear people saying, you know, politicians, all politicians, you know, I got that wrong and I'm going to put it right. Mm. Not enough. This is an opportunity to put that right, because there's a lot of people that you say that are unhappy by that. And they really ought to do the right thing.
I would have thought, as a new administration running the Isle of Wight Council, more important things to do in their eyes than to rename all the officers. I mean, it's just an extraordinary thing to do as the first up. You'd think they'd be looking at the budget and all that sort of stuff from the beginning, rather than, you know, renaming officers to staff. You know, that was their first priority.
Hey, look, we've run out of time, and we've got to get out and clean the place down, because Maggie and Calvin are up next. But we were going to have a little chat about football. So very, very quickly and very, very briefly.
Okay.
We're a big Pompey fan. You went to see them very recently.
Yep.
Are they going to get promotion this year?
Not sure. A lot of trust in the new manager. When you get rid of 17 players who have failed to get us up the previous year, we should have gone up 2 years ago. So those players that didn't want to play for the club or weren't good enough to play for the club, to get them out, get new people in, started well, went off the rails. Great win against Sunderland last week. So I've chatted to the chief executive about fairly recently. I think it's, you know, if they start to bed together, we may have a run later on in the season. But the future looks good. Investment in the ground, you know.
So
bring it on. we could make the playoffs. We've got a good young manager now with some great new ideas. People that want to play for the club, and let's hope this year, or at least next year, we finally get up into the Championship.
Yeah, let's hope so. Because I mean, one of the first games I went to, well, it was the first game, Pompey versus Nottingham Forest. Brian Clough, first man, you know, he was in charge of Forest for the first time ever. And my stepdad took us over, and we did go over numerous years, you know, go see lots, even when they were down in the fourth division. So always got a soft spot for Portsmouth, and like you, not a really big fan of Southampton. But
not a fan at all.
You know, without Southampton, you haven't got that, I don't know, Portsmouth ain't quite so big, and vice versa. It's a bit like opposition.
We'll always be bigger than them, you know.
Well, you've won more trophies in the last 10 years.
That's not difficult, is it?
Hey, look, we'll carry on this conversation off air, but thanks for coming in, Paul.
It's been a pleasure to be back in the studio. It's been a long time here, and it's been a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
It's good to have you. We'll take a break. We'll come back with some Westworld.
Our island, our Vectis Radio, FM 104.6.